Enjoy the beautiful weather at least, right? It's a good day. Has anybody been struggling with headaches this week? Either sinus, that's you? Anybody else? I felt migraines or sinus. Put those hands back up again. All right, we got four. All right, so if you're nearby, can somebody put a hand on these heads or their shoulder? However, we're just going to declare this. I just felt this during worship. I just have faith for you, even if you don't have it for yourself, that these headaches, they have to stop right now. All pain, we command you to leave. We speak to the sinus cavities to clear out right now. And migraines, we command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. All pain, leave. Leave now. In Jesus' name, never to return. Amen. All right. Thanks. Just got to go after what you feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, the results are glorious. Jesus gets it all.
Yeah.
Wow. And Sarah preached an outrageous message last Sunday. How many were here for that? I tried to get her to preach like another 4-week series. You know, it's just kind of hard to follow. Like, I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you, because she just brought it. I was like, you know what? You got it going on. Maybe just pass the microphone. But I do feel like the Lord has something for us today. And here's what it is. Breakthrough's already been mentioned. It said the Lord, there's a breakthrough of an inheritance. A breakthrough of his inheritance all the way from Abraham. Here's what happened on Wednesday. I was doing my favorite kill two birds with one stone. I was out in this amazing trail in the woods hiking and praying at the same time. And how many know that hiking in nature is extremely spiritual time? You can really connect. And I'm just asking the Lord, like, what are you saying? What are you saying? And here's what he said. I want to make sure I get it down the way I felt it. I want my children to fully understand, he said, the inheritance they have received in sons and daughters of the Father all the way from Abraham. I want the Lord, I don't know if I can convey this. He's like, I want my people to get this. The inheritance is so great. It's so much at stake. It's almost like, what if you found out tomorrow that you had a great-great-uncle who recently passed away? But the cool thing about this great-great-uncle, and maybe you never knew him, it just you found out through the grapevine, the authorities that be found you as a relative, and that you found out that this great-great-uncle was a multi-billionaire. And you inherited as a descendant, you know, 25% of the estate. Would that change the way you live today? I see a few heads nodding. Perhaps, right? Maybe it wouldn't change the way you live, but it would at least change your outlook on what lies ahead in your future, especially financially, right? And that's how I feel. I was thinking, here's another analogy. Anybody ever been to Reed's Gold Mine? It's in our state, in Cabarrus County. Listen to this. It's just a little thing. John Reed, his name in German was actually Johannes Reif, or however you say that in German. I have to get David to help me with that. He was a Hessian soldier who left the British Army near the conclusion of the Revolutionary War and came to settle near the fellow Germans living in the lower Piedmont of North Carolina. Most of the people dwelt on modest family-run farms in rural areas where they raise small grain crops such as corn and wheat. The life of farmer John Reed would have been long forgotten had it not been for a chance event on a Sunday in 1799. On that day, Reed's son, Conrad, found a large yellow rock in Little Meadow Creek on the Reed farm in Cabarrus County. This rock reportedly weighed 17 pounds and for 3 years was used as a doorstop at the Reed house. A doorstop. In 1802, 3 years later, a Fayetteville jeweler identified the gold nugget. He purchased it for the ask price of $3.50, 1/10 of 1% of its true value. The following year, John Reed began the Reed mining operation by forming a partnership with three local men. The partners supplied equipment and workers to dig for gold in the creek bed, while Reed provided the land. The returns were to be divided for gold in the creek bed, while Reed provided... Oh, I already read that. The returns were to be divided equally. The men mined mainly in the off-season from farming, giving first priority to raising their crops. Before the end of the first year, a slave named Peter had unearthed a 28-pound nugget. Using only pans and rockers to wash the creek gravel, the part-time miners recovered an estimated yield of $100,000 by 1824. I believe what we have in Christ is actually like that gold nugget. It's big, it's sizable, but for way too long, a lot of us in the church have used it as a doorstop. In other words, it's of little consequence. It's a little useful. It holds the door open. But in terms of the value, the quality that it has, God's put gold inside of you. God's put gold inside of you. God's put an inheritance in you that's way beyond yourself. It's not about whether you qualify. No, 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 no. An inheritance is not received because of what you've done. An inheritance is received because of who you are. Who Christ is in you is really the reality of that. So I want to give you just real quickly here this morning. I'm going to do this in 20 minutes. It's going to be brief and amazing, and a miracle is going to happen. I've never preached a 20-minute message in my life. But it's going to happen today because I want to pray into this over you, because I believe we're in a critical season right now where this inheritance wants to burst forth within us. I want to just give you three keys to receiving your inheritance. Are you with me? And then just highlight a few that I think, okay, what are they? What are they for this church in particularly? So up front, here are the three keys. Number one, you got to realize that you have one. You realize that you have an inheritance. It's very simple. Number two, find out what it is. Find out what your inheritance is. That's going to be a little different probably for each Christian, every one of us. But it's also going to be similar as we are a unified body of Christ. There's going to be common themes, and then there's going to be a variety of differences. Find out, though, what is my inheritance? Go home and pray that this week. Ask the Father, Father, what have you given me? I'm not talking about a selfish prayer. That's not a selfish prayer. That's saying, listen, all the righteousness of Christ exists in you. Now, you need to know what that is. What does that look like? It looks differently in me than it does in Chris. It looks differently in Chris than it does in Sherry. It looks differently in Sherry than it does in Isaiah. Every one of us have a different part, but it creates this great expression of this valuable gold that God has put and built within us, His church. You know, here's the thing he was sharing with me too. He said, Matthew, you know, everything Jesus did, he did as a result of his inheritance he'd received from Abraham. Jesus was fully God. He could do it that way. Philippians 2 said he yielded that to walk as a man so that he could set a stand. He could set an example of what it looked like for a man or a human in right relationship with the Father to walk empowered by the Holy Spirit. He said everything he did, you know, it wasn't just like this grand idea. Yeah, man, I really feel bad for these sick people. You see that blind guy? I think I'll go over there and poof, open his blind eyes. It wasn't a new concept. It wasn't some grand idea. This one thing we've been talking about, Adventures of the 70 on Tuesday nights. This was actually an inheritance that Jesus, the man Jesus, he was walking in as a son of Abraham. And every gift, every promise, everything that Abraham received is yours. If, what? It said Abraham believed and it was credited, literally credited like to his account as righteousness. You believe, you get it. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about a name it and claim it gospel. This isn't a prosperity message per se. It's a prosperity of soul. Right? And the greater includes the lesser. Everything Jesus did was a son of Abraham. And guess where he lives? The Holy Spirit lives in us. It's the hope of glory. It's the answer for every problem that the world faces. You know, we have a pandemic of like depression, anxiety, and all that. As I understand, I talked to even people on campus. Students have just been ravaged by this stuff. I would safe to say that it's across our culture. Who has the answer for that? Obviously, Jesus. Yeah. You look in his eyes, they're so beautiful. He's staring these things down, and you know that he chooses to use little old me's and use little old us's. That's right. He wants to use us to just say the word. Fear's got to leave. Yeah. Lies have to die. Depression has to bow. I just feel this resiliency in our hearts, not just healing, but in every aspect. God desires that we would prosper in soul, that we would prosper in ways so that we can give away what we've received.
Right.
I want to call it prosper with a purpose. We want to prosper with a purpose because we can't give away what we don't have. Right? So those are the three keys. Let's dive into that first one, realizing your inheritance exists. Look at Romans 8. Click with me or turn with me to Romans 8:14. This is out of the New King James Version. And I always love Romans. I've preached on this passage many, many times. But I feel like in this theme of inheritance, there's something to dig out of. There's a nugget, okay? There's a gold nugget right here that we need to get out of it. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God..." These are sons. It's not just limited to the masculine pronoun, of course. These are the children of God, the sons and daughters. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." You didn't receive that. In fact, Paul told Timothy, and he passed it on and wrote, "God's not given." This is 2 Timothy 1:7. Some of you might know this. "God's not given you a spirit of fear. But what's he giving you instead? Love, power, love, and a sound mind." God's not giving you the spirit of fear. And you know what even the context of that is in Timothy? Is his spiritual giftings. Like Timothy was a little afraid, a little hesitant, a little timid in using the gold that God had put in him. And Paul's saying, listen, Timothy, God's not giving you a spirit of fear or timidity about the gold he's put in you. He wants you to rise up. He wants you to rise up in boldness. One thing I noticed in a recent reading of Acts, I think it's in around chapter 4, is there's many things that happen when the Spirit comes on and baptizes people or fills the people in the church. In Acts 4, I thought this was interesting. It says, "And the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were all baptized in the Spirit and proclaimed the word with boldness." I call it the baptism of boldness. How many would like the baptism of boldness? Okay, receive it, Lord. Now, just give it to us. We're asking you for the baptism of boldness to be our portion today, this week, this month, this year, Lord. I don't think the boldness is just like, you know, you're scared to talk to that person at the grocery store or something. That could be it. But I see this boldness as a quiet confidence. It's just like you know who you are. You know who your daddy is. You know what you've received in the Spirit. Therefore, you know that you own something that now is yours available to give away. That's the boldness that came upon the early church, that they could walk in like, "I don't have any money. What I do have, hey, get up and walk." The crippled guy from birth. So God's not giving us, Paul wrote, the spirit of fear. Why? Instead, you received the spirit of adoption. Everybody say adoption.
Adoption.
You've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba. I love that word. It says Abba, Father. That's sort of redundant. Abba is the Aramaic word for father. We cry out, Father, Father, or Daddy. It's like those little kids running around like little Bryce. And he comes to David, "Daddy, pick me up." You know, that's what we're doing actually sometimes in worship. As we're bopping around or we're raising our hand, sometimes that's literally like, "Father, just pick me up, Daddy."
Yes.
Become like a little child and you can see the kingdom. So why is there not any fear in that? Because in David's arm, Bryce has no fear. He's completely surrounded by his father because of that spirit of adoption. That spirit of adoption causes our hearts to cry out, Daddy God, oh, how I love you. Oh, how I worship you. You begin to see these things because getting free from all fear is the key to realizing our inheritance. It's the key to realizing that the inheritance even exists. Here's what I found. In my former Christian life of not before I understood this idea that I'm a son, there's nothing more I need to do to get the Father to love me. He just loves me because that's how I am with my children. There's nothing I can do to make him love me more. There's nothing I can do to make him love me less. Before I got that, I didn't realize what an inheritance I had as a son. Does that make sense? But what the Holy Spirit has done is he's put that thing in your heart. If you don't own that today, I don't mean just mentally know it. I mean, own it like you know it in your heart that I'm a son, that I'm a daughter, that I am a child. Continue to ask him. Continue to ask the Father to reveal that to you until you do. It's such a starting point in so many ways. To know that you are a son, that you are a daughter, that you're perfectly pleasing, that when you close your eyes and you look into his, all you see is a great big smile. Why? Because you're his boy. You're his girl. He can't help but dance over you. He rejoices in you. You are the greatest thing that he ever created. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Hey, listen, what you've done doesn't change who you are. This is the gospel. I call it the good news for Christians. People receive the gospel as sinners, you know, pre-Christians. And we call that the gospel that by grace you've been saved. But the further gospel is that by grace, you not only are you saved, but you are a son. You are a daughter. This is really good news because without that, we don't even know that there is an inheritance. It's like my analogy of that great, great relative that you had no idea about. For years, many of you have heard this story, but for those of you who haven't, I'll repeat it. After college or during college, the Lord asked me to be a high school teacher. So I went about doing that. And then I end up in this little town, Mooresville. Ray City, USA. It's like the home of NASCAR. You know, I grew up around college basketball, and then I moved to North Charlotte, and it's like all NASCAR. Anyway, so I'm there, and long story short, end up as a youth pastor and a teacher in this church school situation, and then after a number of years, an associate pastor. I become ordained after a 2-year school of ministry as a pastor. I'm like, wow, that's an interesting journey. Had no ambition or plans to go there, but God orders our steps, right? My dad's not a pastor. He's a teacher. My grandfather's not a pastor that I know of. Don't know of any great grandparents that are pastors. Don't know of any pastors in the family line. That's okay, because I knew God was ordering my steps. It was called years later, and Dad had this family history book for the Bullingers, that's how you pronounce it, but we call it Bollingers here for spelling sake. Bollinger family history, we'll call it that. And it could trace it all the way back to the Swiss guy named Heinrich, okay? And so a few years ago, maybe eight years ago or something like that, I began to Google Heinrich Bollinger. It was maybe more than 8 years ago when Google actually started picking up in their content. And you know what I found out? My great, 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 17 greats grandfather was the greatest theological voice of the Protestant Reformation in the nation of England. Ulrich Zwingli was a contemporary of Martin Luther, Luther in Germany. Zwingli was in Switzerland. My grandfather, Heinrich, was the pastor in Zwingli's church after he passed away. And then he began to write theology books, and they were so influential when they were translated into English that the British Islands began to use my grandfather's books. And when the colonies were planted over here in North America, the church, the Congregationalist Church, used Heinrich Bollinger's theology books to train their pastors. I did a little further research. I found out that some of his original works are in Wilson Library at UNC Chapel Hill. Wow. I got a grad student to track down a couple of those for me. What's the point? I didn't even know about this inheritance. Too bad there wasn't money connected with it. I'll take the spiritual side of things. You never know, not just what, for me, within my spiritual lineage, what an incredible heritage. But even more so, God says we've been adopted as sons and daughters of Abraham. That is your inheritance. That's what you own. If you can believe, you can receive that. He goes on in Romans 8 to say, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yeah. Remember in John 14, Jesus prays, I pray that the Father, he'll give you another helper. Remember that one? It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be, he dwells with you and will be in you. And then Jesus says in John 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yeah. Honestly, sometimes we're born again. We're in church or whatever. We're in the community. But we just feel like we're on the outside of that window looking in. Spiritually, we just feel like, man, I don't measure up. I used to wake up almost every day of my Christian life with such shame and guilt plaguing me that I could almost hardly get out of bed spiritually. I wasn't depressed physically. I'd get out of bed, but I mean, I just didn't. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I just didn't pray enough. I don't know. I didn't know my Bible. Like, I couldn't quote it. Someone would throw something out. I didn't know where it was. But this is a scheme of the adversary, the devil. He's lying. See, he's just trying to, because here's what he does. He tries to keep you from knowing about that gold nugget. Because he figures, if I can't keep him out of heaven, I sure as heck am going to limit his effectiveness on the earth. And so he just keeps lying to you. Fig leaves, fear, insecurity, guilt, and shame. That's what it's just like. Adam and Eve covered up within the garden. That's what he started. He just keeps fig leaves. That's what you need. Fig leaves. Just put them fig leaves on. Just hide. Just be afraid. Just be insecure. You're so guilty. Hey, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But Jesus said, no. No, 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 no. I paid the price that none of my children have to walk through that mess. There's now no condemnation, he says in Romans 6. There's no condemnation. Fig leaves have been demolished. Yeah. There's no fear. There's no more insecurity. There's no more guilt. There's no more shame. Why? Because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit from the Father. He said, I will not leave you as an orphan.
That's right.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
You're not in a spiritual orphanage somewhere hoping that you can win the cosmic lottery and get adopted. No, you are adopted. He's already called you a son of Abraham. You've been redeemed. It's already done. It's finished. The inheritance that we have becomes clear when we realize we're not orphans anymore. And he goes on, and then if children were what? I know, Ben, I'm jumping around. I think we're somewhere around Romans 8, 15, 16. But it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. Yeah, go to the next one. There you go. Next slide. And look at this. And if children, then what?
Heirs.
Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What does an heir get? An heir gets an inheritance. Yeah. Right? That's one of the great things about being an heir. If you're an heir of the king or queen, then you have an inheritance to maybe be king or queen one day. If your heir has $1 billion, then you sure stand to profit from that. This is our inheritance because you're an heir. I'm just reading you truth.
I'm not trying to holler it up, hoop it up, hype it up, whatever you want to call it. I'm not trying to get you into a church pep rally. I'm just saying, I'm tired. The day that I discovered, it wasn't a day, it was a season. The season I discovered this thing about sonship. And not only is he not just called me a son, he's called me a friend. Amen. A friend? We sang that. Who can be, what other God can be called a friend? Amen. We're friends with God.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The day, the season that I discovered that, all this other stuff began to melt away. And so the reason I want to holler it from the mountaintops is because I don't want anyone to sit in this church and feel like a lesser than.
That's right.
Oh, well, I don't care if you're 1 minute old in the Lord. You're a king.
That's right.
You're a prince. You're a princess. That's your inheritance. That's who you are. We're joint heirs. Because here's the last verse in Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
How many people like Chronicles of Narnia? You know, C.S. Lewis, the classic work. I think it's, is it the first or the second book where Peter and Lucy and all them, they're taken to Merivale and crowned as kings and prince and princess, kings and queens. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like here they are, these little insecure children. They break through into Narnia. It represents the spirit world. It's a, I don't know if you knew this, but Lewis was a Christian. He's writing a spiritual allegory. They break through into this wonderful kingdom of heaven, is what Jesus called it. And then they're just trying to figure out how to survive. Until they discover, oh wait, there's real authority. There's some real authority here. Again, it's not a lording over. It's actually a serving, right? It's to serve the land. This is what we're talking about. This is your inheritance. So that's number one. Man, my 20 minutes are almost up. Realizing you have an inheritance. Number two, I got to go quick. Realizing and finding out what it is. Look at this scripture. Put up 1 Corinthians 2:12. I got two quick snapshot scriptures I want to show you. 1 Corinthians 2:12. This is from the New Living Translation, actually. You got that one there, Ben? It says this, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. The Spirit lets us know, okay, I have an inheritance. Well, what is it? What is my inheritance? I've wondered that for years sometimes. Okay, I get it. I'm a son, but now what? Oh, but Matthew, you're not just a son. You're a friend. Oh, well, then what does that mean? That means there's something amazing there as a friend of God. Here's another one I've never seen until this week. Isaiah 56:5. Put that one up, Ben. Isaiah 56:5. Even to them, that's the person next to you and you, I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. What? That's an inheritance from Abraham. His name, God promised him, you'll be the father of all nations, of many nations. It will never be cut off. We've been given something better than that. We've been given the name above all names. So what is our inheritance? Whew, first of all, I want to give you four things for this house, for this church. Can't say it for anybody else. The first one, Sarah alluded to this in the in-between, the presence of God. The glory even that Moses experienced. 2 Corinthians 4 says in the new covenant, it'll be even greater than what Moses and Joshua sat in the tent. There's a greater, I believe we could call it a radiant glory that's going to come upon sons and daughters walking with bold confidence, quiet confidence, assurance in who they are that will radiate the love of Jesus to the world around us. It's going to impact you. Don't worry. You get the benefits. But it goes beyond that. It's going to impact your community. It's going to impact your neighbors. It's going to impact your family. It's the glory of God. The glory, what is that? It's the manifest presence. In the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word kabod. This word kabod, it, it would come upon people, and they would, all kinds of good fruit would result from that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think T was alluding to. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do when that continues to manifest, but it's going to be fun.
Amen.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be great. I have no idea. I can't define it. Here's one thing I do know. It's God's glory always produces God's fruit.
Yeah.
It'll produce all the great fruit of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest healing. Some of the greatest fruit of character. Some of the best prayers prayed and answered. All of these things, you name it. Whatever your kingdom dreams are, His glory is where they lie. That's where they're at. That's our inheritance. That's who we are as a church. This is our DNA. This is why, for example, just in case you're wondering, why do you worship? You sing for an hour. Well, we don't have a time frame on it, but we just love to marinate in His presence. We're just lovesick lovers. We just love to love on Jesus because, like He said, as we do, we just experience His presence manifesting in our lives. I like to do that in my own life, at home, in my time with the Lord, with my kids, and we like to do that in church. Amen? That's a part of who we are. Probably means, I mean, God could do anything, but will we ever do the hour 15 service? I don't know. I doubt it. I'm just trying to get in within the 2 hours. Here we go. Secondly, besides the presence, is our inheritance is friendship with the Father. James, the brother of Jesus, actually wrote in James 2:23, it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. I've often said that's what I want on my tombstone. Matthew Bollinger, he was known as a friend of God. Could there be anything more honorable than that? That you are a friend of God? Could you give a better inheritance to your grandchildren?
Right.
Old grandpa, don't know what he had, but he was a friend of God. He gave me something beyond what even money could buy. A friendship with the Father of heaven. That's our inheritance. Not because we're something in the world's standards, because we're someone in His house.
Mm-hmm.
We are His sons and daughters.
Yeah.
The third thing is this inheritance of fathering and mothering. This inheritance of fathering and mothering. This is really important in the hour that we live in on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's been important for a long time, but as homes have become more absent from fathers and mothers and life situations have created a lot of terrible circumstances and difficult things in people's soul realm. This is so key that the Father from heaven is releasing a revelation of the Father so that you and I then can become spiritual fathers and mothers. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 4:15. He said to that church, for though you might have 10,000 instructors or teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. He's telling them, I'm going to be like a dad to you. I don't know. I feel myself exceedingly blessed to have two great fathers in the natural who've also, meaning my own dad and my wife's dad, you know, spiritual fathers and natural fathers. But then also, I've had two pastors that I can honestly say I could call like a dad. In other words, when I need something spiritually, when I'm at a loss, wherever I've been, they've taught me, they provided what I needed. They were all there, you know, they're still there to this day. And it's like, man, something burns in my heart in Chapel Hill. Like, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but if I could give that away, like if I can just give that away, I can see that reproduce in a whole company of people, a whole church that carry an anointing in like a college town, particularly to father and to mother. Who wants to venture on that with me? Who wants to adventure on that? Who wants to say, I don't know how, but I'm willing? It includes the prophetic anointing. Because all that is conveying the heart of the Father into people's lives, prophesying encouragement, exhorting them. It includes a healing anointing. It includes teaching anointing. It's, I like to think of it as fathering and mothering. It's all of those. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, right? The guide, the teacher. You see masculine and feminine traits too, all within this Father heart of God. It includes everyone. Like, let's see a whole generation in Chapel Hill and the surrounding area rocked because of the love of the Father demonstrated through His church. It's an unconditional, it's visualized the prodigal son parable, right? It's messy. It ain't easy. It's very inconvenient, but it's all worth it. And last, the four things is the prosperity for a purpose. Prosperity for a purpose. After the covenant God made with Abraham, he became extremely prosperous. It's true. He did. I mean, I'm talking about he got a lot of stuff. What was that for? There was a purpose. The purpose was that you'll be the father of all nations. And how many know, if you're going to be the father of all nations, you're going to need some resources. You're going to need money. You're going to need land. You're going to need, in his day, cattle and sheep and all these. He became extremely prosperous. And the testimony of God throughout the old covenant is that that just came on through. You ever heard of Solomon? I mean, just look. Yeah, of course, Jesus said you can't love the money. It's not serving that. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about prosperity gospel. We're talking about prosperity for a purpose. And I believe that this, that you guys, that God is going to make you so prosperous that it's going to put the fear of God in all of us. Because it'll be like a woe is me. Oh gosh, I have so many resources. Lord, help me know what to do with them all. Anybody want to receive that? Everybody, that's an easy one, man. The altar call will be full. Like, who wants to be prosperous? But you hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about so we can have money and cars. No, I'm saying because there's a world out here that God is going to use his resources to impact through that fathering and mothering.
Right.
Whew, I don't know if this is coming through. Okay, but I got to bring this home. Realizing that our inheritance exists. Number two, what is it? Finding out what it is. I just gave you four that I feel like for this church. And then third, learning to live in and from your inheritance. Learning to live in and from. Remember the analogy? Your great-great uncle, billionaire, you get 25%. How would that change the way you live? Well, in the same way, if all of a sudden this light bulb moment happens and these scriptures like in Ephesians 1 where Paul prays, I pray that all the fullness of God would be revealed in you. God's infinite. Have you ever thought about all the fullness of an infinite God being revealed in finite us? That just makes me want to explode. Like I would probably just explode or something. This is all the fullness. There's no words for it. But when you realize that, then not only can you live in it, but you begin to live from it. The way my pastor taught it is, we're actually meant to live from the future. Meaning, if you can see the plans that God has for you, it impacts the way that you position yourself, the way you think, and the way you act now. Because you know that he has a plan, what? To give you a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. Not a plan to hurt you and harm you like the devil likes to play out our future for us. No, a hope and a future, a plan of healing, prosperity, of wholeness, of health. That's what it means to live in the inheritance from Abraham. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 1:16. You got that? Ephesians 1:16. He said, he's praying. He said, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's good. It gets even better. Here's what it keeps going with. Go to the next verse.
the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know.
Now remember that word know there. That's not like you know biology to pass the test. That's like Adam knew his wife. You know, I'm not going to play it out more than there. It means you know something. You know it by experience. You know what is the hope. That's a certainty of his calling on your life. What are the riches? Everybody say riches.
Riches.
Don't be afraid of the word. The riches of glory, the kabod, of what?
His inheritance. His inheritance. In who? In the saints.
You know all these men and women who have gone before us? It wasn't all for no reason. Hebrews 12 says there's actually a great cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on. I don't know how that works. I don't know if when you pass on to heaven, if you can see or sovereignly the Lord lets you know. I have no idea. All I know is Paul wrote that they were cheering us on. There's an inheritance from all the saints. Do you know what it was like when God said to me one day in prayer, he said, Matthew, this is a really tough season of church planting. This church early on, about 4 years ago. I was just like, kind of like, man, Lord, what am I doing? I feel like I'm spinning my wheels here. He said, Matthew, remember Heinrich? He prayed for you. He prayed that your faith wouldn't fail. He never knew your name 17 generations ago. Can you get a hold of that?
Yeah.
There's an inheritance from your ancestors, spiritually and physically. There's an inheritance that if you know, and now you do, that you know there's a hope of your calling in the saints.
Yeah.
And here's what's great. The dreams that we have, it's not just about our dream. It's what I like to call the 100-year dream.
That's right.
If my dream doesn't go beyond me, what kind of dream is that?
That's right.
Like, I want to have a dream for my children and for my children's children and for their children beyond that. I want to leave a heritage, a legacy. Why? Because I want them to know what I'm telling you today, that they're sons and they're daughters, and that they're sons and daughters from Abraham, that they've been adopted into his family and they've been given all the fullness of God. Here's the conclusion. Romans 8 again, but from the newer Passion Translation. Anybody read that one? I just love the way this is worded, so I'm going to close with this. Put that, here it is. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, hello, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. No, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection. Beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify, this is the inheritance, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys stand with me. You don't have to stand on tiptoe, but that's what the creation is doing. They're awaiting this glory to be revealed. And I said I was going to speak for 20 minutes. I'm at 44, so. Whew. Last week, the Lord allowed Sarah to have a sense of these two angels. You know, the Bible says they've come to be ministering spirits. And this one angel, she just sensed was called Freedom. And this other angel had a sash on that said Breakthrough. Okay, and then some things began to happen, and this breakthrough theme began to take place. And I feel like the Lord is releasing the anointing for breakthrough into our inheritance. Many of you in this room know everything I've preached today. Many of you in this room own a lot of what's been preached today. But how many know there's always more? Like, there's greater revelation for me. There's greater revelation for all of us of this inheritance. And it's a game changer. It's a confidence builder. It's boldness. So as we get ready to leave, I'm just going to pray this over you. Is that okay? So as if on Christmas morning, somebody came to you and said, hey, I've got this inheritance to give you. Do you want it? Just hold your hands out like somebody's getting ready to give you a gift. And just close your eyes. And look into Jesus' eyes. Just picture him right now in your mind's eye. That there he is, the beautiful one that we say about Jesus. You're so amazing. And he's walking up to you. And he's putting this gift in your hands. And just say, I receive. Thank you, Jesus, for my inheritance. Holy Spirit, anoint my heart. To receive all that I've been given. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just want